Well, praise the Lord.
Aleluya. Alabado Dios.
Thank you, Jesus.
Aleluya.
Well, I think some things never change. I notice the more people I speak to these days, the more people I'm finding are either looking back to where they came from, or they're looking at where they are right now, or they're not looking at all. And there's others that are saying, I don't know where Jesus is. I wonder when he's going to show up. And I want to remind us that it takes us back to the time of Mary and Martha. And you remember Lazarus, the story in the Bible of Lazarus? And those stories in the Bible are put there for us. They're put there, they weren't put there for them. They're put there for us. And you know the story. Lazarus was dying, and Mary, his sister, calls Jesus, who he knew, she knew, and Jesus knew Lazarus. And she said, could you please come, sent a message to him, please come, because my brother's dying. And of course, he didn't show up. And she was really upset with Jesus because he didn't show up. And you know what happened. He waits 4 days. In 4 days, Jesus comes and Lazarus had died. She said, too late. And there's a lot of people feeling that way today. Where's Jesus? Are we ever going to have breakthrough? Is he ever going to show up? Are we going to get anywhere? Is anything going to happen? And then you know the story. Jesus was coming down the road 4 days later. Lazarus is buried. And Mary meets him and she's upset with him. And she lets him know. And Jesus refers to her and reveals to her. He said, you know me, Mary. And you know me as the healer. But you don't know me as the resurrection. And then he said, take me to your brother. And you know he went to the place where he was all wrapped up and buried for 4 days. And Jesus went to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Do you know him as the resurrection Christ that's going to resurrect us out of this mess we're in? Oh, Jesus is not going to show up, maybe. I wonder if he will show up. I wonder if he's coming. I don't know. He's coming.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And he's not going to come too late. And the same thing he's saying to us and to some folks, although they don't want to hear it, when he's talking to the fishermen and he said to them, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. He's saying the same thing to you and I today. Cast your affections on the other side of your problems, on the other side of your hurts, on the other side of those things that you've been struggling with for all the years. Remember with the fish? They knew how to fish. They knew how to do everything. The fishermen knew how to fish. And they were out all night. And they got tired. And in the morning, Jesus is standing there and he said, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. It's only 20 feet away. They knew there's no fish over there if there's not any fish here. But because you said so, Jesus, we'll do it. Really, in all these nets, it takes a long time. throws their nets out the other side of the boat, and the fish were jumping out of the nets. Not only were the fish jumping out of the nets and breaking the nets, but other people were able to catch the fish too. And their nets didn't break, but they were full. And he's saying to you and to me, cast your problems on the other side of your what's your burdens? What's your struggles? What are you fighting with? Well, some people it's addiction. Some people it's something else. Other people it's something else. As a pastor and as a person going around, and like you, you talk to people long enough, you know all you're going to hear? Moaning, 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 moaning. Well, I believe the Lord's saying, take your moaning, moaning and cast it out on the other side of the boat. On the other side of your life, on the other side of your circumstances.
Hallelujah.
Take your circumstances and cast that on the other side.
Hallelujah.
Because it's not serving you very well. That's not just a story about fishermen for them, it's a story about us now.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
You got circumstances, you got problems. He's saying, all the energy and everything you're putting into what you're doing now is not doing anything. Just kind of turn the other direction and cast it out onto your circumstances. And you may find he makes a way where there seems to be no way.
Amen.
He's a God of making a way where there seems to be no way.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I've been preaching about breakthrough. I've been preaching about moving in the Spirit. And I believe that God is speaking to you and I.
Amen.
Amen.
And He's speaking to the simplest of the simple, to the smartest of the smartest.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I know people that struggle with the same old struggles for the rest of their life. They just struggle with struggles and a struggle and a struggle and can't get out. You say, well, that's a baby story. No, how are you doing? He's saying, just a little direction change. Cast your
Hallelujah.
On
Hallelujah.
The other side.
The Lord, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
you. I want to read you something. Came from a prophetic voice. I've been getting the guys to reach out to. I'm trying to get some encouragement. And I got some today. Because when you're sharing, and I'm saying to the Lord, Father, I don't want to bring anything that you don't want me to bring. I want to bring what you want me to bring. And Father, I was a firefighter for 40 some years before a minister because there was a reason. And I have a heart for people that are perishing. I have a heart for people. I don't want to see them. I want to see them saved. And so I got back from a man named Ivan Roman. And he says, the Lord spoke to him and said, he's raising up a people to walk with him as Enoch did. To be naturally supernatural and fall in love with heaven. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying in my spirit, who are they? They prophesy like prophets. They love the lost like evangelists. They heal the like healers. Then I heard the Lord say, they are my sons and my daughters.
Amen.
He's raising up his sons and his daughters.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Don't get too excited. You're his son and a daughter, or you're not. And if you are, he's raising up his sons and daughters to do great exploits. Because it's not going to stay like this very much longer. You think heaven's going to be like this? Before we can this last day's outpouring is not for superstars, but for sons and daughters of God Almighty. Now, I want to just give you quickly, once again, 10 principles in the life of Jesus Christ that we're to be like that. He did what he saw the Father do. And the Scripture says he saw the Father create man. He saw him in his image. He saw him create the universe. He saw him create everything. I know some think it came from a Big Bang, but where did the Big Bang come from? And he in Genesis 12 says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. He saw the agape love and mercy of God. The second principle of Jesus was he didn't build things, he built people. We're to be an encourager and builder of people, helping them, caring for them. And Jesus didn't choose his disciples because of who they were. He chose them for who they were going to become. You see, if you're looking backwards, thinking that God's shaping your future based on your past, forget it. If your past is anything like mine, it was a mess. He's not basing your future based on your past. He wants you to take that past and lay it down. And so if you're looking backwards, trying to go forward, it's not going to work. Once you're born again, it's forward. We're not focusing on what we were. We're not focusing on where we came from. We're focusing on what we're becoming. And we're becoming what the Bible says we are, sons and daughters of God. And see, so that's where we are. And so he chose them for what they were going to become. And oftentimes we start off as a mess, and then by degrees we start to change, and we're becoming more and more compassionate. We're becoming more God-like. He made us in his image. And that's why he said, worship me, the Lord said. Because if you don't worship me, you're going to worship something else. And it's not going to serve you very well. You might worship your number one hockey player. You may worship some singer. You will worship something. He said, put me first and watch what I do in your life.
Hallelujah.
And he's preparing us, and he's taking and making us ready. Jesus built his disciples into one accord. We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to love each other. We don't see much of that these days. Don't see much love, hatred everywhere. God said, love your brother like yourself. It'll serve you well. Jesus, in principle 5, Jesus delegated authority because he had all authority. We have some authority. We just don't use it. We have authority over an enemy that's robbing us. We have an authority over an enemy that's stealing your children and my children. We have an enemy that's just slowly taking the life out of families and destroying families and splitting and dividing. And we have the authority to cast him out of our family and take back what the enemy has stolen, but we don't do it. That's all. We just don't do it. But we're called to stand up as a man and woman of God and say, take your hands off my son, take your hands off my daughter, take your hands off my family, and you have the authority to do it. We just don't do it. Oh, now, Pastor, get a grip, you know. We don't, no. What? Do you know how many busted families there are? Well, you don't have to live, don't even bother leaving Ottawa. They're everywhere. Broken marriages, broken family, broken hurt, broken relationships. Because we won't do what God has told us to do. And I'm going to ask everybody, are you having fun? I get guts on the fire department. They say to me, Doss, you're going to church all day Sunday? Are you nuts? I said, no, I was nuts. What do you do there all day? Oh, I said, if you only knew. If you only knew, I get my batteries charged. Hallelujah. Why are you always so tired? What are you so tired for? I get my batteries charged. But they look at you funny like you come from MERS. Everything Jesus did, he did with all his heart. He worshipped unto the Father. This is a level of obedience. This is what Angie was talking about. You have to make up your mind. You make up your mind. It's going to go a whole lot better.
Amen.
It's going to be a whole lot better.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And 7, Jesus loved people. Bible says if you say you love God and you hate somebody, you don't love them. I'm not feeling the love a lot of times when I go around to you. You feel the love?
No.
Just walk up to somebody sometime and tell them, gee, I love you, brother. You don't know what you're going to get back. But I do it anyway. Do it anyway.
Amen.
Love you, brother, sister.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus kept the main thing the main thing. He loved God. One was, Jesus was offered many opportunities by Satan, who happens to be the god of this earth, small g, offered him all kinds of things, and he wouldn't take them. He was sold out. Jesus also focused on his mission. He had a mission, and he knew what the mission was. He was focused. He was dedicated. Sold out. And his energy was spent about teaching about the kingdom. You know, it's another secret I'll tell you, but most people won't receive. You happen to be kingdom people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Because of what Christ did on the cross.
Amen.
That was God.
Amen.
He took your shame, your pain, your filth, your sin.
Amen.
Took your place on the cross. And in exchange, he said, I take your past, I give you my future. That's called grace. It's getting what you don't deserve. And we get what we don't deserve. It's mercy. And it's for us. And Jesus knew covenant people. And he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us because God is wanting to use us.
Praise the Lord.
In case you don't know it, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And you don't need to be a theologian to see it. Hatred, killing, murder, disrespect, all kinds of things. But Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver us from the snare, that trap of the enemy. And under His wings we shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield, and you won't be terrified of the terror by night or the destruction that awaits the noonday." He is with us.
Amen.
And He wants to be with you.
Amen.
He wants to lead you. There's a secret we can learn today from Gideon, Samson, and all those people you read about in the Bible. The battles, before they went to battle, see, this is important. And you can laugh at me if you want, but you won't be able to ever say I didn't tell you. You must be anointed for victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Everybody here has problems. Everybody here's got battles. Everybody here's...
Amen.
You see, if you read from the Old Testament, before they went to war, they went before the God. They went before and were anointed
Amen.
For victory.
Amen.
Because His will be done.
Amen.
So my will, He's not going to anoint me to do the devil's work.
No.
He's not going to anoint you to go to and take drugs. He's not going to give you a victory anointing to go and do things other than Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if I'm going to do His will, and I'm trying to do it in my own strength, see, there's a victory anointing.
Amen.
And you move in the victory anointing, the victory anointing of God. When they went to battle, David and his men, when he said, "Now, go forth," they were anointed.
Amen.
And there's an anointing for victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And this is why many people get so discouraged. Because when you're moving in that victory, victory is yours in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
We receive it. The God anointing for victory.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if you're hearing me.
Amen.
You see, because oftentimes we're trying to gain victory in areas of our life that Jesus is saying to you and to me, "I love you, but I can't be part of that. Dawson, I love you very much, but I can't be part of that. I can't anoint that. I can't bless that." But if I'm walking in Him for His glory, for His kingdom come, for His, as a kingdom child, because the scriptures we read, the great I Am said I am who He said I am, His righteousness in Jesus Christ, and I walk in that righteousness, I can walk in the victory anointing of God and have victory. But if I step outside of that, He's not going to be with me, and life's going to suck. I'll tell you that right now, I know, I had 50 some years of it. Jeez. Lost everything I owned. see, we have to be in right standing with God. And He's talking to us. He's speaking to us.
Amen.
Like Angie said this morning, we're ready for breakthrough.
Amen.
We're going to walk in the breakthrough.
Amen.
We're going to walk in that victory, the God-anointed victory. When they went to battle, the Spirit of God came upon them and they fought their enemies and won. In other words, don't try going it by yourself. He's with us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They on their own could do nothing, but were filled with His presence in the battle. The presence of God. They never fought their enemies. They fought in and through the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. I don't know if you heard me. They did not fight their enemies. You see, God said to you, the battle is mine. The victory is yours. Many try to fight the enemy. And guess what happens? They fought in the anointing. Not them. The anointing came. And the anointing goes before them. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing. There's a big key here. If you want to find yourself, get out of a mess. We put ourselves, these are the little traps, the little snares that the enemy uses. Always cute. But the Lord is exposing him. You see, we're not to fear the darkness. See, without the anointing, the darkness is going to overtake you and you're going to be fearful. But in the anointing, the victory anointing of God, you will illuminate the darkness. You will illuminate the darkness. The darkness will back away from you. But many people are caught in the darkness. And they can't get a grip. They can't get that victory. Can't get that. So they struggle. And they struggle. And they struggle and they struggle. And you see that? We're to touch it. We're to overwhelm it. And we're to transform it with the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Presence of God that's in you.
Hallelujah.
We're to transform it. We're to illuminate it. We're to overtake it.
Amen.
But we're not.
Hallelujah.
But He's calling us to do it.
Amen.
Fear not.
Hallelujah.
For I am with you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
See, the Bible stresses that we are positionally seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that we are to move in that. I'm going to say something else, and you can laugh or you can mark it down. I believe that Buckingham and Ottawa, we're going to have a breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen.
I received another email to encourage me from a Robert Hill from Phoenix. I'm going to read what he says. He says, you would think that with all the sickness, he's speaking about the United States, and he's coming from the United States, you would think that with all of the sickness and suffering and mass murders now on the regular basis going on in our country, and with an ever-increasing threat of nuclear war, that people would be searching for God. But he said, I don't see it at all. We don't need God. Who needs God? We don't need him. Don't need Jesus. Don't need Holy Spirit. We'll do it ourselves. How are you doing? Well, it's getting pretty dark. And it's getting darker. And he said, people seem to be in a fog. They're so comfortable that they don't want to come out of the fog. He says our nation has been mesmerized. You know what mesmerized means? Put to sleep, or they hypnotized. He says our country's also been polarized. Polarized means division of groups in extremes with opposite points of view. They're split up with all kinds of points of view, and they're so split up, they're fragmented. They're something like the church. It's so split up and fragmented that it's polarized. Then he says it's euthanized, which means putting something to death humanely, killing it. They're choking themselves to death. They don't need God. They don't want him. They took him out. Change his definition of marriage. Change everything. And think you get away with it. Well, they're not. And over the past several years, he said, I shudder to think that we would have to go through another 9/11. He said, only after the last one, people came to church for 8 months after that big fall and then turned away. Only 8 months. And then they didn't need God anymore. Then I heard from four prophets. These are people that are recognized as prophets. There's four of them. I don't know if you know them, but one person's name is Chuck Pierce. The other is Keith Pierce. And there's a Dee Johnson and a Virginia Green. And listen what they say. This is the year of showing people how to come into the kingdom. I am bringing about what my people have been looking for and have not seen before. There has been a shift, and there will be no more delay. Finish what I've said for you to finish, and move into what I have said for you to move into. Maybe this is speaking to somebody. The season has changed. What you looked at and thought was a mountain is a mountain no more.
Amen.
What you looked at and thought was a giant is a giant no more.
Hallelujah.
Don't fight your old battles in the wilderness, but see your victory in my promises. Deal with each giant in a new way. For what you thought was a giant is not a giant at all. There's a change. Awaken and you will see and hear what your heart has longed for, that which your brain was not able to achieve or receive. What your heart longed for, but your brain couldn't wrap your head around it. It's about to happen. To heart matter. Get ready. For what once was is no more. And what is now is becoming new. I don't know if you hear me, if I'm just
Amen.
blabbering up here. How you receive and embrace the new move will depend on your relationship with my Spirit, your helper. It's all going to be based on your relationship. Another lady from California, Melissa Nordell. Those who have been wounded are coming back into the fight.
Amen.
Those that have been wounded are coming back into the fight.
Amen.
Their scar tissue from old wounds is now stronger than ever before. They got some scars on them. But the scar tissue is stronger than it ever was before. And they're coming alive. Oh, praise God.
It
says God is reactivating your gifts after a season of drought. Some have been in a drought. They've been in a drought for years. But God is reactivating those that are ready to be reactivated. He says, I am awakening you, says the Lord. And this time, now listen, he says, I have need of every gift, every talent, of every age, every male, every female. Those humble enough. To trust me.
Yes.
Amen.
See, the church has authority. It's not used yet. We have authority over the enemy. I don't know if it's speaking to you, but it's sure speaking to me.
Amen.
God is wanting every man, woman, and child. Amen. He wants everyone. And those that have been hurt, they've been through the fire, been in the enemy's camp, getting ready to take back.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you another one. And this comes from Portland. And this man is a recognized prophetic voice. He says, the season of God's glory fire has come. Fire walkers, arise. Those that are fire walkers. He says, recently, on moving in the morning, one morning, the Lord brought me into a vision. I saw the fire chariots and horsemen of heaven. They were terrifying, amazing, and beautiful, and had now arrived in the skies of the earth once again. These chariots and horsemen were the same type of chariots that took Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. I watched in awe as they rode into the skies over the earth. These chariots and horsemen of fire were positioned over specific areas in the sky all over the globe. As each of these chariots and horsemen rode across the sky, appointed regions, they released Holy Spirit fire whirlwinds into the earth below. I watched as these whirlwinds blew and threw out the various nations and lands of the earth, causing revival fires to ignite in all kinds of corners of the earth.
Amen.
A tsunami of Holy Spirit fire. All of a sudden, the whirlwinds met up and became a tsunami of Holy Spirit fire, a massive wave of glory fire.
Amen.
I watched as this wave began to hit not just the land, but the people. Instead of the wave crushing and washing over onto the shores of the land, like a picture, when you think of a water tsunami, wave of fire hit people of God and turned their robes into fire. As I watched them begin to burn with the glory fire of the Spirit, I heard the Lord say, "The time of my burning ones has come. I'm calling forth the season of fire. I'm calling forth the rise of my intimate friends." He calls us friend. He said, "My intimate friends. I'm calling those who will walk in my deep fire, those who would be clothed in my fire, those who will become consumed by my fire. I have sent a new fire upon the land that has never been seen, never been known before. It is a fresh outpouring of my Spirit, my majesty and my love. It will not be quenched. It is a transforming fire. A wave after wave will come, and all will know the measure of it and be transformed by it. Not just the people, but the land also will be overcome by my fire glory."
Amen. Hallelujah.
There are those who hear my call, those who will press in deeper and be commissioned as fire wave releasers. These deep, intimate friends, these wave releasers will begin to create with the Spirit wave after wave of my fire, transforming the landscape of every place they go as they personally encounter and walk with me like never before. Their life is marked with my robes of fire, and they will walk with me. They release embers of my glory fire in their wake everywhere they go. They will be clothed with me and will become ignition switches to the world around them. I've been preaching a fire message for a long time, and I have people that think I'm nuts. No. You don't know what it does for me when I hear a voice over there speaking the same thing. When I hear a voice way over there speaking the same thing. And when I hear another voice way coming back from way over there from another woman and another man speaking the same thing.
Amen.
I start to get a little bit of a... Because you see, when you come from a certain place and you have a prophetic word, you know, people are going to think you're... No, well, I shouldn't feel bad because they didn't believe Jesus even in his own town. Yeah. When I spoke to pastors in Smith Falls, I was invited to go there and speak to them. We talked about a nursing fire. I talked about the fact that I was a firefighter for 40 years. First, I know the difference between a true fire and a nursing fire. First, fire set by man and a fire set by God. The real fire is not the same as a man set fire. And said, "There's a smoldering fire coming down through Metcalf and through us, coming right through the valley. And it's a destroyer." And it was, but they couldn't understand at the time, and nor could they do anything about it. But it was taking out prayer out of schools. It was taking God out of all the things. It was removing God. It was a dirty fire. But I also told them there was another fire coming down through, and it's funny, it was the Indian names. Ottawa, Mattawa, Petawawa, all those names are Indian names. Coming down through that way was the fire of God, which is going to overtake, and which we're about to see. The fire of God is about to take this dirty, smoldering, stinking curse and fire that's consuming our loved ones, consuming our place of worship, consuming the parliament, consuming the city hall. No more prayer, no more this, take it away from the school. Took that dirty, stinking thing is about to be overtaken. And when I met with some of the pastors after, he said, "Thus, we can't do anything about it. We're in a place where they won't let us do anything because that's they pay our salary." And that's when I thank God for our little place out in the boonies.
Yeah.
I thank God for our little place out in the boonies because we're free. There's nobody telling you and I what we can't do. Only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ is the pastor here.
Yeah.
We're just under shepherds.
Yeah.
And he's about, he said, "It's a time for my friends, my sons and daughters."
Yeah.
I hope you heard me. So if it's not doing anything for you, it's doing a lot for me because it's starting to pick me up. You know when you think you're screaming into the wind, eh? And sometimes you think you're trying to drink from a hydrant. You ever try to drink from a hydrant? Take the big cap off, poof. You don't get much. But it's encouraging because he's speaking to you and to me. And it's of the most importance that we hear the voice of God right now.
Amen.
You have to hear it. I have to hear it. And he says we can hear it.
Amen.
We have to hear it. The only way to do that is to be with him. How many know he's a problem solver? Yeah, Sanjay, you know for sure. You're living it. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I don't know how much you're going to remember what I said. See, we're not going the way we came from. It's been a mega shift. And we're starting to move in the Spirit like never before.
Hallelujah.
And I even believe that the fire we're talking about, even though you may not see it, you're going to be like the burning bush. The bush was not consumed, but God spoke through the bush. And he's going to speak through us. He's going to speak through you. He's going to speak through Tommy on his bus. You know how many people get on that bus in a day? Well, they may not get off the same way. They may not know what happened to them. You see, we're all positioned.
I like when they say, "God bless you." And I tell them, "Yes, he
has." Yeah, you got a captive audience there once you close the door. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, praise God. Thank you, Father. I love you, Lord, and we praise you. And if you happen to think I'm cuckoo, don't get me a pill or anything. Just leave me in my leave me be cuckoo. Father, we thank you. I praise you and I worship you. I pray blessing on everyone here, their families, their households, their children, their workplace. Father, I pray blessing, healing, anointing, and well-being. And Father, we pray for the sad, the sick, and the suffering. We pray, Father, for those this day that have nothing to eat. I pray that, Father, you will make a way where there seems to be no way for them. And Lord, I thank you that you loved us so much that you're not going to leave us like we are. Father, the darkness is getting darker. But we know the light's going to get brighter because you said you will have a glorious church. And Father, we've settled it. We want to be part of your glorious church. And Father, we just ask now that each one has heads of protection and they're traveling, heads of protection in all that they do. And Lord, would you receive all the glory, for you alone are worthy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And amen. God's blessings be with you. We ask blessing on the food.